It's Sports with Amy Reid.
And watch Fox Sports reporter Mike Yuva.
New week, new year, and Mike, you're out in the cut somewhere enjoying biscuits and gravy to kick off January, huh?
Oh, yeah, and I came out here at quite the time. I know we're going to dig into it in just a little bit, but this is like the last place on earth you want to be, especially if you're a Gamecock or Clemson fan, in terms of just what is going back on in South Carolina right now. So it is nice to get away a little bit, but at the same time, it's like with this interview, I have to just try to find a place where I can at least get some reception because we are in the middle of Sticksville.
First, we'll start with Clemson. Trevor Lawrence declares for the draft. What does that mean for Clemson? What does that mean for Trevor Lawrence? Do you think he'll get picked up this year?
Well, I think what it means is, you know, it's exactly what everyone kind of expected. It's probably the world's worst kept secret, right? Now, you know, you have a guy like DJ Uiagalelei who's going to step up next year, had a chance to play a little bit this year at quarterback when Trevor was not able to play because of the ACC protocol with COVID. So you're going to have a quarterback that has experience now, just a little bit game experience, but he's going to be a sophomore next year. Or on paper, he's going to be technically a freshman since this season didn't count for eligibility for anyone. But that's a different story for another day. As far as Trevor is concerned, I think we all kind of expect him to be the first overall pick and go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, things can change sometimes depending on if a team that is behind Jacksonville can put a great package deal together and can make a trade to move up a little bit to be able to get that first overall pick. But I think right now, I think all signs are pointing towards the Jaguars being able to draft Trevor Lawrence, and Lawrence will end up in Jacksonville and will be the franchise quarterback and will do whatever he can to be able to turn that program around, because it's a franchise that has struggled the last couple of years after going to the AFC Championship just a couple seasons ago.
If you're a college player who has a track record of success and you're declaring for the draft, does he want to go to the Jaguars, or are you trying to go somewhere else? Like, I think about Joe Burrow, right? Last year's Heisman, who went to the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it's one of those things. This is just how it works. You can go back, though, in history. I mean, one of the more recent one, and it worked out for him, was Eli Manning. Eli Manning was drafted by the then San Diego Chargers, and he didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go there, and, you know, Daddy Archie Manning started, complaining as well, and they were able to kind of get their way, and he was able to get traded to the New York Giants. But that's not how it always works, and to me, it shouldn't be how it works, because this is just how, first off, being in the NFL, I don't care who you are. Yes, Trevor Lawrence is a once-in-a-generation type quarterback, and that's what a lot of experts and are projecting him to be, but at the same time too, it's a privilege to play in the NFL, just like it is to play in any of these professional sports, Luke. So this is kind of how it works. You know, teams that stink, teams that have lousy seasons, get to pick the top talent.
Yeah,
and if that's not the case, if you're going to go play for the best team at the end of the year, I mean, the rich just keep getting richer, and then the poor will just, you know, continue to stink, and you're just not going to be able to help the sport grow. I mean, this is how it's supposed to be. So I can't see Trevor doing that, pulling an Eli Manning. And I think, you know, if you're Trevor, I mean, everyone's different, right? I don't want to speak for him and say, of course, he doesn't want to go there. But the luxury that you have, though, is if you can go down there and you can win down in Jacksonville, or if you're a player that gets drafted to one of these crappy teams, just like we saw with Joe Burrow last year with the Cincinnati Bengals, if you're the guy that can turn things around, you'll never have to drink. You'll never have to pay for a drink in that town again or a meal. So, and I think that should be something that motivates you. And I think a lot of these players feel that way, but I know not everyone feels that way.
Coming up on Monday, we have the college football championship, Alabama versus Ohio State. And I know last time we talked a few weeks ago, we had talked about Ohio State and how maybe it was being felt that they may have not earned their spot because they hadn't played as many games. But here they are. What is your prediction? If somebody's betting on the game, what is your prediction for it?
I'm still going towards Alabama just because that offense is one of the best offenses we've seen in quite some time. To be able to have three guys finish in the top five just this past Tuesday with the Heisman voting, I think tells you everything you need to know about this Alabama offense, including Heisman Trophy winner Devontae Smith, the first wide receiver since 1991 to win the Heisman Trophy. So there are very, 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 and I don't, you know, and there's a reason why I keep saying very, because I feel like you can keep going on and on with that word. They are a very explosive offense, and I think the challenging part for Alabama will be doing exactly what Clemson wasn't able to do, which is stopping Justin Fields. So if you can find a way to get that defense, and it's ironic to say this because Alabama, for such a long period of time, they've been known for their defense. But this season, it's been the complete opposite. So if they can just get a couple stops out there from a defensive standpoint, I don't think this game will be close, just because I don't think Ohio State can keep up with just the weapons that Alabama has on offense.
Is Alabama like the Patriots of college football? Like, I just feel every year it's them and another team.
Well, the Patriots before this season, before Tom Brady left, you could say that for sure.
Yeah, because yeah, prior
they're
to
always
this season.
They're always there. And I think, you know, when I think about, especially being able to, as someone that grew up in Massachusetts and saw what that dynasty looked like for those 20 years, I think the toughest thing isn't necessarily being able to get to the top. It's being able to get to the top and staying there, you know, just being consistent. So, I mean, Nick Saban, you know, what he's been able to do, he's competing right there with Bear Bryant in terms of being one of the greatest coaches, if not the greatest coach in college football history. It is absolutely remarkable, especially when you're playing in the SEC, too. What? I mean, you're playing top talent each and every week, and especially in that division of the SEC, the SEC West. I mean, that's the toughest division in all of college football. So to be able to win the West, then you have to win the conference. I mean, there's a reason why no team in the SEC East has been able to beat Alabama since 2010 when the Gamecocks were able to do it. So, you know, they are just so consistent. And it's just, honestly, it's a factory in terms of, you know, it's what Clemson has tried to be able to create over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
And I've said that they've kind of, you know, the standard right there with Alabama, but I mean, what Alabama has done, they continue just to separate themselves from the rest of the pack each and every year just because everyone buys into the philosophy, and it's pretty easy to. Because if you don't listen to a guy like Nick Saban, he'll get rid of you and he'll find someone else that will.
Well, we're going to talk about the Gamecocks in just a second here, but I want to talk, saying what a great, you know, coach Saban has been, and also, I guess, kind of referring to them like as the Patriots of college football. Have you seen that documentary on, I forget what it's called, it's on HBO though. And it's Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, and it talks about how they kind of came up through like different ranks together, and how even to this day they're relatively tight. And it's kind of not surprising to see two coaches who are so successful being able to relate to one another and to talk through things. It was a very interesting documentary.
No, it's interesting you say that, and obviously that documentary was well documented in terms of how their relationship is, and it goes back to all the way back to their days when they coached together with the Cleveland Browns back in the 90s. And I know that from a Boston standpoint, longtime journalist Chris Gasper, he came down for the national championship the year that Deshaun Watson threw the touchdown pass to Hunter Renfrow, and the one that Clemson beat Alabama the first time, because of course they've done it twice now. And he was down there, and he wrote a story on just that topic, which is just the relationship. They have a strong relationship. And, you know, when you have two football minds like that, who are very similar in a lot of ways, especially in terms of how they are when they're in front of their team and when they're in front of the media, because behind the scenes, you know, they're fun guys. You know, they like to laugh. They like to bust balls. But, I mean, they're always going to be the ones that set the tone. And a lot of coaches are like that. I mean, I can tell you some coaches who I've been able to develop relationships with at South Carolina or, you know, maybe some of these other schools over my career in covering sports. And you'd think that they're just, you know, just jerks. They're just, you know, but you get the chance to meet them, and that's the complete opposite of how they are behind the scenes. So I'm not saying Nick Saban's the type of guy that's going out to the clubs and he's popping champagne bottles when he's not coaching football by any means. But the point being is they're very similar because at the end of the day, the most fun for them is winning. And to be able to do that consistently requires you to just change who you are and, you know, just be that. You have to buy into it. It has to be a part of your life and your everyday decision-making, because if you're kind of like, okay, you know, we're successful, like we can kind of, you know, take our foot off the pedal a little bit, someone else is going to gain on you. And that's why they're so good at what they do, is because that foot is always down on the pedal, regardless if they're winning or they're losing. It's the same thing. Highs, lows, they're always the same.
Now, speaking of coaches, let's transition into Gamecocks. Coach Beamer, officially in Columbia, South Carolina, as far as I know, and he's brought on some other staff, But is there a little turmoil going on right now? What's happening with Gamecocks coaching?
There is. And Amy, I know we're taping this on Thursday, and I want to make sure that I preface that because things could change by the time this thing airs on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely.
As of today, it is very likely, it looks like it's almost all, you know, sealed and delivered, that Mike Bobo, the offensive coordinator slash quarterback coach for the Gamecocks, and new offensive line coach Will Friend will be heading to Auburn. And I think what's amazing about this is at the beginning of the week, the Board of Trustees at the University of South Carolina approved not just their contracts, but they approved six other coaches' contracts as well this week. So, you know, for Will Friend, he was making, I believe, about $700,000 per year, and they were going to make it for two seasons. So that's just under $1.5 million for those two seasons. And then for Mike Bobo, his contract was for 2 years, $1.2 million per season. So, you know, it's one of those things that we see this happen in terms of openings kind of changing the landscape of coaching at other schools, because Auburn went through a head coaching change themselves a couple weeks ago, and they're trying to catch up to it. And Auburn, of course, is a school that has a lot of history. They're a very successful program. And South Carolina is trying to do what they can to be able to get to that level. You know, let's just call it for what it is. They're not on that level.
Yeah.
So they look at an opportunity like that and they want to go for it. So, you know, it stinks for Shane Beamer because it's just like, you know, what else can I really do? You know, I gave you guys great contracts. I brought you in. Will Friend hadn't even been here really for a month. I mean, I'm trying to honestly think. I think he was here for maybe 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, it's insane. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Tracy Rocker, who was here for the last couple of years with Will Muschamp, the defensive line coach, he could be on his way out. There's been teams in the NFL that are expressing interest, and that's something that happens every year with college coaches at this time of the year, because Black Monday, which we just had, you have coaches get fired, and new openings happen, and then there's the moving around with pieces. And this happens with college, but it also, I mean, it happens in the NFL, but it also has an impact on college coaches, because some college coaches start to get plucked. So for Shane Beamer, he already had to fill two more positions. He was still looking for a defensive coordinator spot and an additional defensive coach. And then on top of that, a strength and conditioning coach. But now you might have to look for another three coaches in terms of just once this is finalized. So as I mentioned, this is Thursday.
Yeah.
But by the time you guys are listening to this, there could be three Gamecock coaches, Mike Bobo, Will Friend, and Tracy Rocker. They could all be out by the time you guys listen to this on Friday.
What an exhausting just situation to walk into if you are Coach Beamer. Like, all right. Mike, if people want to kick it with you, where can they catch you on Watch Fox, and where can they hang out with you on social media?
Well, they can catch us on Sunday nights at 10:45 on Watch Fox, on Watch Fox Sports Zone, for more local sports coverage than anywhere else in the Midlands. And they can follow me on Twitter at Mike_UVA.
Perfect. Well, listen, enjoy your time. Eat some more biscuits and gravy, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
Appreciate it, Amy. Take care.